I'm Linda Holmes, the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See, and you have once again found your way to the Pop Culture Happy Hour. We are back after a couple weeks off, and I am joined, as always, well, three times now, by Stephen Thompson from NPR Music, Trey Graham, who is an arts editor at NPR.org, and Glenn Weldon, who you know as Monkey See's comics blogger and also an NPR book critic. Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Are we happy to be back?
There hasn't been nearly enough happy hour in my life.
It's true.
It's true, and I think some of us are happier to be back than others.
That's true.
I, for one, spent this past weekend at the Scandinavia Corn Roast.
How'd that go for you?
In Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Well, I'm sad to report that I missed something called the Celebrity Donkey Races that took place there, and thus was robbed of the opportunity to determine whether they had found local celebrities to race donkeys or if the donkeys were themselves famous. And it had me ruminating the entire drive there on what it says about celebrity. Like, if celebrity merely bestows upon you the opportunity to race donkeys, is it celebrity?
Is it really something worth pursuing?
Right. Yeah. And so I was wondering, you know, did they get Tom Hanks? You know, like, who was racing the donkeys?
I would like to believe that Patton Oswalt was involved
in this. I'd like to hold on to the visual of Patton Oswalt racing donkeys. But perhaps they were famous donkeys.
Do you not actually know the answer to this?
I don't know the answer to this.
What went on at the Celebrity
Donkey Race? I missed it.
So
it
what
was
you're
on
saying
Saturday
is that you did no investigation whatsoever.
I went online to the hilarious, I believe it's Dairyland Donkey. Wait, hold on. All right, hold
on. Wow, we're a minute and a half into this, and we're already seriously off the rails.
Couldn't they simply have dressed up the donkeys as celebrities? Couldn't they just had like a Danny DeVito donkey versus a Charlotte Ray donkey?
I don't think it would have been that hard to find a Danny DeVito impersonator in Scandinavia, Wisconsin.
I like the fact that Glenn's second celebrity of choice
is Charlotte Ray.
It's all 80s television.
Last time it was Judy Tenuta, and now it's Charlotte Ray.
My definition of celebrity ends in 1989.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and while Stephen was in Wisconsin, and actually before that, I was in California at the Television Critics Association press tour.
She makes it sound like such a chore, and she was, you know, lounging about the Beverly Hills Hotel.
There's no lounging. There's no lounging. There is
grapes.
There is, yeah. Grapes are $12
per grape.
Yeah, it's not so much lounging as it is sitting in the ballroom. It's actually the same ballroom where the Golden Globes are, but you sit there all day at a series of long tables, and the TV networks bring panels of showrunners and cast members and producers and other people to tell you how incredibly fantastic all the new shows, and in some cases old shows, are going to be. It used to go on for 3 weeks, if you can believe that.
No.
These poor, poor people used to sit in this hotel for 3 weeks.
And they didn't even get to live tweet.
Yeah. No, they didn't. And, you know, Wi-Fi has basically become the main issue in the ballroom. That's what determines the mood on any given day. Is how's the Wi-Fi behaving and how cold is it? Mm. And
How cold was it, Linda Holmes?
These are first world problems.
Exactly.
It was so cold. Now, I've said many times that the day that I complain that I have an actual terrible life because I sat out at press tour for 2 weeks, I would become a terrible person. But so I was out there doing that and checking out all the new shows. And I actually asked Mike to pull for me a couple of things from Press Tour that I would like to share with you. The first is an actual good thing from Press Tour, a fun thing from Press Tour, which I'm going to play for you in two parts. We're going to play the first part of it, and then we're going to see if you know where I'm going with this. And then we'll play the second part.
Great.
All right.
Here it comes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Move too far away from the original, you're losing why it is so iconic.
You don't want to mess with something that's great, something that works, something that people are looking forward to. So we're staying very close to the original, but it's a little more aggressive. It's a little bigger.
You know what's about to happen?
Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, yeah. That's what that music is.
Glenn Weldon. All right, play it for us, Mike.
This piece is actually quite hard to play. And you give it to just a regular band, and it'll fall apart quick.
What they explained to us was that they originally recorded a sort of more electronic, modern version.
Sort of like the Mission Impossible theme.
But eventually, everybody said, this is not right. You have to have the theme song sound exactly like it sounded in the original. So they went back and they re-recorded it, and they actually included a bunch of the original musicians from the original recording of the Hawaii 5-0 theme.
Instead of just using the original recording?
Correct. So they did re-record it, but they re-recorded it very much like it was before. And the cool story of Hawaii 5-0 is it has this guy, Alex O'Loughlin, in it. CBS loves him. They put him in Moonlight, and it failed. They put him in a show called Three Rivers, and it failed.
Right.
He was in the movie The Backup Plan with Jennifer Lopez, where she was the artificially inseminated whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
That, as you remember, was a vast creative success. And now he is the ostensible lead in Hawaii 5-0.
So you're saying it's going to last 4 episodes?
Well,
or they're just going to keep at it until he hits.
They just really like this guy. And the interesting thing about Hawaii 5-0 is that even though it's led up by O'Loughlin, the guy who's playing Dano, the sidekick, is Scott Kahn, who was in the Ocean's 11 movies. He's the guy in the pair of guys who's not Casey Affleck.
That's actually what it says on his website.
That's right.
Not Casey Affleck.
I'm the guy IMDb in the page. Pair of guys who's not Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
And he is very good and very funny. So I'm actually optimistic about Hawaii 5-0. The downside of Press Tour, all right, I have a clip for this too.
Hi, Manmeet. Manmeet. Yes, Manmeet.
Your name is Manmeet?
Yes.
Wow, this must be hard to chat on the internet with a name like Manmeet.
This is the new NBC comedy Outsourced.
This is what we're getting in lieu of Parks and Recreation.
This is what we're getting in the fall in lieu of Parks and Recreation, which got pushed to mid-season. And Outsourced is based on a movie, which actually I'm told is very good. I have not seen it. But the story is American guy, the company outsources the call center to India, so he goes to India to run the call center. And the pilot, as it exists right now, is mostly a string of jokes about Indian people have funny names, Indian people eat weird food, Indian people don't understand American pop culture. And it was probably one of the most poorly received pilots of Press Tour, possibly aside from the William Shatner Bleep My Dad Says show. On CBS, based on the Twitter feed of the same name, and MTV's remake of Teen Wolf. The thing about the remake of Teen Wolf is that it's not a fun Teen Wolf. It's a very serious Teen Wolf. It's more like Vampire Diaries or Gossip Girl. So, and the other big change, I was telling this to our fine producer, Mike Katz, of yesterday. The other big change is that instead of basketball, they play lacrosse.
Ooh. That makes it high tone.
Much darker sport.
It's edgy. Yeah. It's dark.
Speaking of sports, I went to DairylandDonkeyBall.com.
Okay.
And the celebrity donkey races, the word celebrity is in
is
quotes.
In scare quotes.
It's in quotes.
Self-aware.
Wow. So presumably there should be like an asterisk that says like, caution, may not include celebrities. But the subhead is wholesome, side-splitting, family fun, racing action.
The other thing I was wondering about the celebrity donkey races is whether it's celebrity donkeys in the same way as like celebrity rehab. So maybe they used to be famous donkeys.
Nice.
Maybe
they're
glory days.
Formerly famous donkeys who have been put out to pasture or wherever donkeys get.
Or corn roasts, as the case may be.
Is it still too soon for a Gary Coleman donkey joke?
Yes.
I'm going to take that as a yes.
I think we've
yes.
just learned that the answer to that question is yes. It is too soon.
Trey Graham.
How dare you, sir?
Sorry.
That is so offensive. So that was Press Tour and a couple of other rando stories. Very, very short. I bumped into Shaquille O'Neal. Literally bumped into.
Mm-hmm. Probably got a bruise from that.
And that was it.
You're now at the bottom of his sneaker.
Well, he passed me at a party. And it was just like guy goes by you and puts his hand on your arm as he goes by. So like, oh, you know, I'm behind you, passing behind you. I turn around. I'm like, oh. And I'm looking at like the chest of the guy. His head is, you know, a foot and a half above me. Literally a foot and a half above me. So I bumped into him. And also at that same party, they had a version of the big ball from Wipeout. Running around with little white gloves.
Oh,
a person in a big ball costume.
I would have just tailed that person the entire time and not done anything else.
I know you would have. I know you would have. But I didn't.
But there's a strict policy, if I'm not mistaken, against being photographed with the talent.
Yeah, you're not.
I mean, if you're ostensibly covering this as a journalist.
The idea behind this is, you know, you're out there working as a journalist.
Yeah.
And even when you're attending these events, where sometimes these people are in attendance, you know, you don't go up and be like, oh, can I have my picture taken? Because it's gross.
Yeah.
So
you
don't do it.
Like
so
we
had a debate among some of my Press Tour friends about whether
the big ball qualified
as talent, because it's perfectly fine to have your picture taken with like
or mascot.
You know, you know, with inanimate objects, that's okay. Like if you're on the set of a show, you can have your
picture taken. So if you're like on, let's say you're on the set. Well, you were on the set of Big Brother.
I was. Mm-hmm. And there were only certain places you were allowed to take photos. But in the places where you can take photos, yeah, nobody cares if you have your picture taken against the like wall in the studio. But not with the talent, you know. Mm-hmm. So we had this thing.
Were there
the big
sorry,
ball.
I think I saw scare quotes in, around the word
around
talent.
The talent. Yeah. Especially with Big Brother.
Yeah, yeah, verbal.
So the question was, is the big ball talent or object?
All right. Can I ask
I think
question
we should wait, we should start a game on Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Talent,
talent
or
object.
Right.
A question about the panels. Now, when you're sitting there and a show is tanking, say a Teen Wolf, and you're getting the sense that this show is no good, and you're sensing flop sweat on the people on stage, what is the tension in the room like? I imagine you all are like leopards on the Serengeti, just sort of closing in.
The prevalence of Twitter among the people in the room now means that if you're sitting there on your laptop, I mean, you're in a panel discussion. The only people you could ever talk to, aside from the person who's asking the question who has the microphone, are the people, you know, on the two sides of you. But with Twitter, if you're signed on to Twitter and you follow a lot of the people in the room, you can sort of see when one of these waves of I hate this show breaks out and people start talking about this is a terrible question, this is a stupid answer. And so I think it exaggerates the sense of, you know, grumpiness in the room when it gets grumpy, because all of a sudden everybody is sort of tweeting, I can't, this is so stupid, this show looks ridiculous. So I think the existence of Twitter kind of pumps that up.
Okay. So you're sort of in a vortex of commentary on what you are currently experiencing.
Yes, you are. You are. And so is everyone who, you know, obviously a lot of people follow a lot of TV critics on Twitter, and it's kind of like following a lot of pop culture people during Comic-Con. You sort of may have to prune.
Or music people during South by Southwest.
Right. You sort of have to prune your feeds a little bit during TCA, because during Press Tour, because otherwise it's way too long. Anyway, so that's Press Tour. It's not, you know, all that exciting, but that is where I was.
I don't know, Linda. I have one more question about your experience at Press Tour, and that is whether you feel that you have had your horizons significantly broadened by your encounter with the cast of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, they brought in the cast of Jersey Shore, which was sort of a last-minute thing. They actually were not going to do that until, like, the day before, and all of a sudden it becomes, oh, they're going to bring the cast. So, yeah, they came in the room, and the funny thing about that panel is it was the only panel all of Press Tour where they weren't allowed to sit down. They stood up the entire time. The cast wasn't allowed
yeah, to sit down.
The cast did it standing up on the stage.
They actually had cattle prods behind them.
And nobody really understands why weren't they allowed to sit down.
Do you suppose they were trying to demonstrate that they were, in fact, sober?
Possibly.
Right.
There were a lot of, you know, there were questions about whether the girls' skirts were too short.
Right.
Oh, that they didn't want any unfortunate photography.
You didn't want an unfortunate Britney moment.
I have no...
Why don't they have a tablecloth?
I mean, this was all pure rank speculation. I have no idea.
You also kind of lose the effect of Snooki if she's sitting down.
Well, can you see Snooki if she's sitting down?
With some of these man mountains.
She is very small. She is a small, small girl. But she assured us that when she was asked about her romantic situations, she's just snooking. Mm-hmm. That's what she told us. I'm just snooking. Mm. So we had to ask her what that was, and the answer was basically, I'm snooking, I'm looking, something like that.
So anything with something that sounds like snook.
Like look.
Yes, and then she explained that she's going to be selling a snooktionary.
Oh.
I like the moans.
So it's going to be like snook, see, look. That's it.
Well, the talk of Jersey Shore reminds me, I've just checked, celebrity donkey races are 1.5 hours of wholesome side-splitting donkey racing action the whole family will enjoy. Your spectators will be entertained by donkey jockeys made up of family, friends, and community members riding our donkeys in 5 heats and 1 championship race. Each donkey has his own talents. The donkeys get the best of care, and each one is specially selected to run, buck, or duck. Each show features Buckmaster, world's rankest donkey.
Rankest?
Wow.
Rankest.
Really?
Smelliest?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow.
So they're local celebrities in the sense of they're like community
aldermen.
Kids.
Aldermen.
Of.
So Buckmaster is the Snooki of donkeys, I believe. <Right. laughs>
All right. So
he's just bucking.
Yeah, he's just bucking. He's going to put out the Bucktionary. So you can understand. So you can understand, you know, what he's talking about when he says just bucking.
Anyway, visit DairylandDonkeyBall.com for more information on the Dairyland.
Please be careful not to mistype that URL because there is just no telling where you're going.
Also, Buckmaster.
Yeah, don't type an S at the end of that link.
Oh, people. Yeah, I just, it's like when I'm the most calm person, nothing good can happen. All right. So, Trey Graham, what's making you happy this week?
I want to celebrate briefly the New York Magazine profile of James Franco that ran, it came out sort of July 25th, just right at the beginning of your time away, I think. It's an extraordinary piece of writing, not least because it opens with this anecdote wherein the writer follows James Franco into the bathroom and then continues the interview while Mr. Franco is relieving himself.
Wow, that interview took a turn. Huh?
and the writer confesses to something that he describes as a camaraderie, a thrill, an excitement that he can't quite locate the source of.
I think I can locate.
That was exactly my response.
The writer notices a mole.
That's seriously how he opens the piece, and then you think it's just going to be terrible, but it turns into really a fine and considered piece that looks at Franco from a bunch of different angles.
Oh, stop.
It turns out it's by Sam Anderson, who's the book critic for the magazine.
Yes.
And a fine and interesting writer, so I highly recommend it. I'm also just fascinated by James Franco and then the breadth and diversity of his pursuits.
James Franco is, a genuine oddball.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
He's doing General Hospital, he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
all these wacky conceptual art projects.
Yes, you know. Of which I think doing General Hospital
explicitly said so, yes.
And, he gets around, that guy.
Short stories, short movies.
All right, Glenn Weldon, what's on your mind this week?
All right, there's a show on Adult Swim called Children's Hospital. It's Rob Corddry directed and created this show, and it started out as a series of webisodes on the WB.com, not a place I go for my comedy fix, but... There it is. And it actually premiered back in 2008. Each episode's about 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is puerile. It is silly. It is frequently tasteless. It is often...
You're talking about this current podcast that we're taking right now?
Beneath contempt, this. But the thing about Children's Hospital is it was also very, very funny. If you are the kind of person who kind of goes, yay, every time you see an actor that surprises you that you love and he just sort of pops up, you're going to miss a lot of this dialogue because mm-hmm. it's Ed Helms, peers, Rob Corddry, there's Rob Hubel from Human Giant, Ken Marino from mm-hmm. The State, Megan Mullally is great, Nathan Corddry, Steve Agee, Nick Kroll, Chris Elliott, Jason Sudeikis, Malin Ackerman, these people, Ackerman, they just keep popping up. And it's not a parody of hospital shows. Because it's not that directed. It's mm-hmm. not that cohesive. It's just jokes, one after the other. But what has happened, evidently, to Rob Corddry is that he has been damaged by the terrible movie Patch Adams as much as
Haven't we all?
Right. Yeah. So the phrase, the healing power of laughter, occurs many, many times in the show.
Oh, the healing power of laughter.
And it's brilliant.
Whatever happened to the healing power of laughter, you know? Used to be I could pull a rabbit out of a hat or a quarter out of some kid's nose and poof, leukemia's gone. You know, I once cured a case of Lou Gehrig's disease by pretending I was trapped inside a box.
Sounds more like the healing power of magic. Or mime.
Just a claustrophobic clown in this tiny car of life. And I can get tiny car sick.
Hey, Blake, why don't you try the healing power of medicine?
Medicine? Why don't I try the healing power of my ass? Anyway, thanks for listening, Chief.
What you have to understand there is that Rob Corddry is a guy who wears clown makeup that is very reminiscent of John Wayne Gacy's Pogo the Clown.
Excellent.
He also has blood covering his surgical scrubs.
Sure.
He is talking to Megan Mullally, who has crutches because she's got a splash of cerebral palsy. It is a tasteless show, but it's brilliant. The new season starts on August 22nd. There's only about 6 episodes, but they're 11 minutes long. The first episode's already online. You can find it. It's solid. If you watch the 2 episodes back-to-back right now on Cartoon Network, you get the 2 episodes, one after the other. In between, there's a parody of a sort of a terrorism action show starring Paul Scheer, also of Human Giant, called National Terrorism Strike Force, San Diego, Sports Utility Vehicle, or NTSF SDSVU. Which is also brilliant.
I like it already.
And you also get Rob Corddry telling a little story about the making of the show, which is always just something he's making up. You also get, to be warned, 10 minutes of commercials. 10 solid minutes of commercials because it's two 5-minute episodes back to back. That'll change, I think, I hope, a little bit when it comes on, when the 11-minute episodes come on.
Wow. So Children's Hospital.
Children's Hospital. There is no apostrophe in Children's because the hospital is named after its founder, Mr. Children's.
Nice.
So that's about where we are. That's about the level.
Nice.
All right. I'm going to check that out. I love, you know, all those actors you named.
So. Yeah.
All right. Thompson, what about you?
I would like to talk about a noble tradition.
Okay.
And it is one that, when it began, I found it infuriating. And now I find that it has turned into a delightful comedy of exasperation. And that is the endless string of retirements and unretirements of Brett Favre.
Trey and I go suddenly silent.
I'm just going to assume that from you two, it is going to be an odd hush for the remainder of this conversation.
He is a football player of some renown, I hear.
Right.
Now, we should well, I'll let you explain it the way you choose to, Stephen.
Okay. Brett Favre, longtime quarterback of my favorite sports team, the Green Bay Packers, played for Green Bay for 16, 17 seasons. Set all kinds of records. About the last 4 or 5 years in which he was intermittently great and frequently terrible, at the end of each season, he would hem and haw about his possible retirement, only to heroically decide to come back. Finally, he retired for about 5 months, then decided he was going to unretire.
Get to something about Mary. That I know.
I came back for you, Mary. That's my impersonation of Brett Favre. There's Something About Mary.
That is awesome. Thank you.
Generally, that impression includes my eyes tracking from left to right as if reading cue cards.
Sorry.
But what I've enjoyed particularly is the latest round of them. There were reports within the last week or two in which all of a sudden, no, Brett Favre is not coming back. He's retiring once and for all. And there's this delightful wave of reporting in which all of these journalists, all of whom know that he is in fact totally coming back, that he would not possibly be willing to come back unless it's the day after training camp and the Vikings ask him nicely and pay him $16 million.
Yes.
It's okay to talk about sports, right? You talked about golf
last
time. Absolutely. Okay. Peter King from Sports
Again,
Illustrated.
Again, golf, not a sport. Go.
Peter Again, King. Glenn Weldon hates golf. Send your angry emails.
.com.
Peter King at Sports Illustrated, very good sports writer, also notoriously guilty of writing ludicrous puff pieces.
Yes.
His latest
about Brett Favre.
His latest round, and he's even been sort of like, you know what, to hell with Brett Favre. But he can't help himself. His last thing is, you know, as we look at Brett Favre in the current position, he has 14 sprained toes, you know. He three of his toes were bitten off by a gator, but 7 grew back in their place and he sprained them all. It's just this rundown of, you know, the passion of the Favre, you know, just his you know, just endless string of maladies.
Well, let me ask you a question, Stephen. Is he like a kid out there?
He is. He's just like a kid out there. He's like,
has he come to play some football?
Throwing the old pigskin around like, you know, like a 7-year-old.
Is he spending the offseason playing with high school students again?
Well, and this is the thing. It's just like... like the cherry blossoms return. There are certain, you know, it's maple syrup season. there's the time of year in which Brett Favre starts throwing to high school students.
And then has an existential crisis.
And then, in the public. And then texts someone that he's retiring, and then maybe, no, he's actually, it's time, you know, but no, it's just time to throw football to kids.
Brett Favre, as many of you will know, left the Green Bay Packers and went to the Minnesota Vikings, which is my football team. Because, of course, Stephen is...
I also
what you
to
can't
skip over
see
that.
Because we're in, this is a podcast, is that Thompson is now holding his cheesehead hat in front of his face and sobbing quietly into it.
Yeah, I am from Minnesota prior to now, and Stephen is from Wisconsin, which is only one of the many reasons that we are natural enemies,
right.
I think it's fair to say. And so Brett Favre went from Stephen's team to my team, and of course my conflict was... I like my team. I hate Brett Favre. So what does one do?
You continue to hate Brett Favre.
That's true. Stephen actually... Yeah, spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Stephen actually knows what I did, which is I continue to hate Brett Favre. But the interesting thing is people in Minnesota have not been through this before. This is their first time. So the funny thing is they've all seen this play out in Green Bay many times.
Right. But they've certainly been interested in it the preceding 8 years that this has happened.
But they didn't learn their lesson.
But they've watched it from afar with amusement.
Exactly.
And Schadenfreude.
Not so funny now, is it, Vikings?
One of those things where you think it'll never happen to you, and then it's your football team, and all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, maybe I'm not going to come back. Oh, maybe I am. As I was saying to Stephen earlier today, you certainly knew the guy was not going to agree to come back prior to training camp because one thing he does not do is training camp.
Right.
So what you're saying is that now the good people of Minnesota are feeling a bit like the good people of Cleveland.
Well, yeah, but it's still new to them. And so there's a certain amount of, if he comes back, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which, you know, like Brett Favre has done for the last 13 seasons. Not that I'm bitter.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice because, you know, they have the opportunity to potentially have him come back and throw a horrible game-ending interception in the playoffs.
Again.
Like he's done literally like six of the last 13 years.
Not Let that Steven go, is bitter dumps. At all.
I'd like to talk about celebrity donkey races.
Thank you. I think we all need it.
I would like to have a donkey dressed up as Brett Favre.
That's right.
All right. Well, as much as I would love to, as much as I would love to let you talk about celebrity donkey racing, we do have a quick version of this week's Forgettable Television Pop Quiz.
How does the song go that accompanies the Regrettable Television
really
Pop Quiz?
The theme song goes, Regrettable Television Pop Quiz. Okay, so all right, so let's have our first clip.
I was sitting at a table so far away that I could hear him screaming and being verbally abusive to two women sitting at our table. Mm-hmm. And I just basically said, can you keep it down? We've had a great day. We've had a wonderful, successful day of promoting our show.
Yeah.
Can you keep it down? Of which case, he continued to be outraged and threw a glass of red wine on me.
And then she threw a glass of scotch back. Yeah. So there was wine,
who
scotch.
Anyone?
This can only be the Real Housewives.
See, I assume so, except that we did Real Housewives last time.
Yeah. Well, but...
Yeah. Is this the Real Housewives of D.C.?
It is, sort of. It is the Real Housewives of D.C. during their appearance on The View. So it's two regrettable pieces of television.
Yeah. It's two pieces of television that should be fed to a shark, and that shark should be set on fire.
Extra bonus. The woman telling the story there originally about being hit with red wine is another woman talking about the thrower of the red wine was, according to my understanding of this story, was Mr. Salahi.
Yes, the husband of the infinitely regrettable Mikaele Salahi.
Correct. Yes. Who is not necessarily a party crasher, because if you say that, they get very, very upset.
No, they were invited.
So the other great thing about this, which I'm saving as my kicker, is that this happened at press tour. This happened at the NBC party at press tour. That's where this throwing
where
of red
alcohol
wine
was thrown. Where were you?
I did not go to that party.
You were back watching
Linda
The Bachelor.
Holmes. Linda Holmes was watching The Bachelor. She was MIA.
I was MIA from the party when people started throwing alcohol on each other. And
That's your alibi.
Well, yeah. And the greatest part about this is that in this discussion on The View, I believe it is Mrs. Salahi who refers to how this happened at what she calls, generically, a red carpet event. Which, technically, there is often a little red carpet where the famous people stand and have their picture taken. But if I'm invited to it...
I feel like that's a pretty decent definition.
If she and I are talking about the same thing, because I heard this story about the NBC party at press tour. So she and I are talking about the same thing, which I'm pretty sure we are, unless there's been a lot more alcohol throwing than
Let's not rule that out.
Then this happened at a red carpet event, quote unquote, that I was invited to.
If there is a red carpet present, I mean, when you come over to my house to watch, say, Wipeout.
Yes.
And I lay out a red carpet.
It's a red carpet.
As one does.
That's true.
Then I throw a drink on you.
Right.
As you do sometimes.
Right.
Then that would qualify as a red carpet.
As a red carpet.
Red welcome mat counts. Red bath mat counts.
All right. We have one more. Oh, this is my favorite.
My name is Rosanna. I am 4'10", the same height as Mother Teresa. Before I started acting, I worked as a church secretary by day and a go-go dancer by night.
Okay. Now, I don't want you to guess yet.
Okay.
What this is, because you wouldn't anyway.
No, I got nothing.
But before we go on, you have to hear one more clip from this show, which is, well, you'll know what it is when you hear it. It is a reality competition show, so hit it, Mike.
Lana. You get the axe.
Wow, that music makes Inception Sounds like a Kindle commercial.
So that's their dismissal. So here's the thing, right? She said that she's, in addition to being the same height as Mother Teresa, she started acting.
Right.
And now she's getting the axe.
She's auditioning to be a firefighter.
Oh, she's auditioning for something.
Wow, this, I got nothing.
This show is
Lumberjacks.
This show is called Scream Queens.
Wow, I don't know.
And
that.
It is a show where you audition to be a horror
movie.
Murder victim.
Murder victim.
Yeah, that's it.
And the prize, though, here's the thing. You look at it and it's so cheap looking and you think, what is this? And then you find out that you actually get to, I assume, get killed. In Saw 7 in 3D.
In 3D.
In terms of horror jobs, though, this is like pretty if on Project
profile.
Runway,
yeah,
them putting you
profile.
In Fashion Week. Yeah, this is like a good prize if you want to be a person getting killed in the movies.
You're comparing Marie Claire magazine to Saw 7 3D.
Yes. I am.
I am. I mean, if it's your ambition in life.
Have there been six?
Saw 7's going to go straight to
I feel
to
like
DVD.
There have been three or four. Have there,
no,
there, there,
no,
just been
there
way
have been
more.
There have been. I believe it is going
to
be. I believe it is going to be Saw 7, and it's in 3D. So you get to get killed in 3D in like one of the most famous money-making franchises ever. So Scream Queens, as I said, 4 foot 10, same height.
As Mother Teresa, who appeared
Screams.
In Saw 2.
Right. Screams like Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And but I particularly think that that exit line, you know, you get the axe.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, you have to admit.
That is pretty great. I mean, yeah, the opportunities to do inventive things, sort of the way on Hell's Kitchen where they, like, set your photo on fire.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or in True Beauty where they put your photo in a dumpster. They should be able to, you know, lop off the head of an animated version of you or something.
I think they should go for the whole special effects thing.
Go out with
squibs. There should be squibs.
Yes.
Maybe they
there should be squibs. That's actually the name of my biography.
That's right. There will be squibs.
Maybe they do. I can't tell you I watched enough of it. I got through You Get the Axe, and I thought, perfect.
So what channel is this?
I believe it is on VH1.
You know the catchphrase, the thing that they send you off with is very important, centrally important to any one of these shows.
Absolutely.
There has to be a note of way too on the nose, which
right.
You Get the Axe does.
Yes.
Work of Art has, your piece of work didn't work for us, which
that's
just
really
so mealy-mouthed.
And it's too long.
It's too long.
Way too long.
I will say, I enjoy, I'm a big fan of Project Runway Canada, which is hosted by Iman, who says, I'm sorry, you just don't measure up.
She does. Really? It's true.
That was a terrible Iman. That was the worst impression.
No,
it was actually very good.
It was actually pretty good.
The temperature in the room, we should tell the listeners, dropped about 10 degrees.
Yeah.
And all the candles blew out. I think you channeled.
Seriously?
I think you channeled Iman.
I will say, you can find it on YouTube. And I do recommend watching
Project Runway Canada. Is awesome. There, I also liked, I believe it was when Jacqueline Smith was hosting Sheer Genius. I don't know if they do this anymore, but she used to say, you've had your final cut, which doesn't even really have anything.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't really make any sense except that cut is with hair, and so maybe kind of.
There's a kind of something you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of low-rent version of Top Chef on the Food Network, I think, called Chopped.
Yes, there is.
And they have a twofer. They hide the plate of the person who is losing under one of those chafing dish covers.
Yes.
Oh, right?
And so they reveal the person whose dish is being, you know, disdained and
Is their name on it, or do you have to recognize
their
food?
No, you have to recognize what they just cooked.
But
then you've just spent, you know, 10 minutes looking at them assemble the dish. So, yeah.
And then they say,
you've been chopped.
You chopped.
That's the thing about, you know, you've been chopped is very much like you get the axe.
You get the axe, right.
Except
exactly.
It's so much more colorful in the context of a horror movie.
Of a horror
what
slasher
do they say
film,
on Sliced? Yeah. What is it? Sliced?
Oh, not Sliced is where he's just cutting things open to
Sliced
see.
Sliced doesn't have...
So he's not actually eliminating.
Top Shot.
There is one in Top Shot. I can't remember.
There is.
You didn't hit the target? It's something like that. Oh. You missed the target or...
I'm not sure that that's actually true.
Thompson is just making things
up. Okay, seriously?
Yeah.
They shoot you.
Moving right along.
Well, as a matter of fact, that brings us to a close, thank God. That brings us to the end of... Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm very glad that everybody could return now that I'm back on my home turf. Thanks, guys.
It is great to be here. Oh, Linda, how can you follow us more? I bet there's a blog that you could visit online.
You can visit us at a blog online, the NPR Monkey See blog, which can be found at npr.org/monkeysee. You can also follow me on Twitter at NPR Monkey See. How about you, Stephen?
I can be followed on Twitter at I Dislike Stephen, STEPHEN.
How about you, Trey?
Well, having more of a sense of self-esteem than Thompson does.
Who doesn't?
I am just at my own name on Twitter. It's Trey Graham, and that's with an E in Trey.
How about you, Glenn?
Being pretentious, I can be found at GH Weldon.
I'm sure that everybody will be sure to follow us right away. And based on this.
Because they're all still listening.
Despite today's display.
And I think, I'm sure Stephen will have further updates on the world of competitive donkey racing. And other than that, we will see you next time on the Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Can't wait.
Thanks, everybody.